Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Talking sports with friends.
Fellas, just talk about sports.
Here it is, y'all. We're on the air. Sit in the sofa, throw your hands in the air. We're talking sports so you can come on and listen. NFL predictions, what you're missing? Nothing, we got you covered for college football too. Every
fantasy football
Friday you can get what you need to hear. Mondays and Fridays we're always here. Live on the air, you know it ain't fair, cause we spit it with crazy ill flair. Hip hop flavor, crazy witty, extremely clever, you know it's gritty. It's talking sports. NFL, it's talking sports. College football, it's talking sports.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We're talking NFL, and you're listening live to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it's the perfect way to start off our sixth season with our 2017 NFL preview show. Like always, give us a call, 718-664-9098. We're social, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, the podcast afterwards. You can check it on iTunes. Ray, breaking news, Ezekiel Elliott suspension held up for six games by Harold Henderson. But because of legal issues in the court and the timing of when it was released, and he's trying to get a stay, he will be allowed to play Sunday Night Football on NBC against the New York Football Giants. Everything is very messy. What do you think happens, and how does it all play out? Will he be out from weeks 2 to 8? What do you think happens with Elliott for the season with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I don't think that this is going anywhere. So the NFL made its ruling. Roger Goodell is the ruler and the arbiter. And according to his playbook that everybody collectively bargained, he's out six games. Now, he got a technicality, so his six games will be games 2 through 7. But ultimately, I think this is going to cause a work stoppage in 2021. I think that the players are finally going to push back and say the commissioner has judge, jury, and executioner powers, and that's got to change. And I think that DeMora Smith basically put them on notice to start saving your money and get ready, because we're going to draw a line in the sand, and Roger Goodell's commissioner powers are one of the issues that's going to have to change from a player's perspective.
Yeah,
he might not. I don't think there's anything that Ezekiel Elliott can do now.
Right. Well, he can do what Brady did and keep it in court, and that it might not really come to fruition until next season. So we have to stay tuned with that. But I just think when the police don't push charges and this and that, and the NFL becomes sort of, you know, investigators, and they do a sloppy job and don't interview the girl. And then the lady that did interview the girl, her report said it was, you know, too many lies and things that didn't hold water, that she would not suspend him. And then they ignored it and then went ahead and did. So, I mean, there's so many holes in this thing. It's not even worth talking about. I will say this. There is a little bit of a cloud going into this NFL season. Obviously, they asked Cam Newton at the end of his press conference about Colin Kaepernick. We know that they had boycotts in front of the NFL headquarters. We all know, and even Cam Newton said, Colin Kaepernick is not only one of the top 32 quarterbacks, but he's definitely one of the top 64. He's been blackballed. He should have a job. And I think it's shameful for, you know, a silent protest when we see what's going on in this world, this country, Charlottesville to this, that. Now you got the positive things after the negative Harvey and Irma's coming. The Miami and Bucks game is going to be moved. They haven't decided where yet. The NFL has got to find a way to try to get some positive things and get focused back on the field. And Colin Kaepernick needs to get a job. A lot of people will be boycotting this NFL season, and that's just where it is. So let's get to it.
Yeah, let's talk on the field.
So, Ray,
that are playing.
Before we get to the AFC East, real quick, let's touch on this. The champions, their chances to repeat. Thursday night, they start against the Chiefs. They lost Edelman. They traded for Coney Ealy, cut him. They have a new team with a lot of new players. How do you think they fare Thursday against the Chiefs going into this season and just in general? How do you look at the Patriots?
Look, the Patriots are like the Yankees of the 90s, the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavs. It's all about championships right now. When you have five, then just making the playoffs doesn't matter. So the only final solution for them is to be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. So it really, it's as simple as that, right? Can they win another championship? And, you know, Brady wants to probably go out with six. I mean, he might want seven. But, you know, we'll get to our predictions in a minute. But you got to believe that they're one of the three or four most, you know, equipped teams, even with Julian Edelman going down, because it's a plug-and-play offense. Bill Belichick's the best coach of all time. Brady might be the best quarterback of all time. So right there, they have a chance right there to go 12-4. So fill in the details, but they'll be there in January.
Do they beat the Chiefs Thursday night?
I think they do. I think the Chiefs are not ready.
Yeah. Well, Damian Spencer Ware, I'm going to say 26-17. But also, remember this, I think they're like 3-9 without Edelman, and his passing percentage goes down quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see who goes in the slot
Brandon
to replace
Cook
Edelman.
And Hogan, it'd be interesting to see who picks up the slack.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the AFC East. You got the Patriots Thursday too, right? You think they'll beat the Chiefs?
Yeah.
AFC East, I'll take a stab at it first. Patriots 12-4, all the things we just said. I have the Dolphins as one of the wild cards at 10-6. I really think Cutler having Julius Thomas, the receivers, you know, decent offensive line, Ponce's healthy, and defense is good. And it's about the coaching. Gase is ready. They'll be in the playoffs. Cutler's better than Tannehill. The Bills, feel bad for Tyrod. Not enough weapons. Zay Jones, great rookie. Look out for him and Shady. 5-11. The Jets, 3-13, might be generous, but I think their defensive line is good enough. And I think Bilal Powell and Josh McCown getting lucky one game or two games, maybe even three, they'll steal. That's my AFC East, 3-13. What do you got?
Yeah, pretty much the same sequence. The Jets, I'm trying to determine if it's going to be 2, 3, or 4 wins. They might be the worst team in football, but you know what?
Wait, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold? That's the conversation, right?
Yeah, especially because Rosen did big things, 491 yards on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The Jets are clearly playing the Philadelphia 76er game in basketball, only transferred to football. So that's the only question. I think that sequence is right. The Bills basically threw in the towel. They're going to ride out Tyrod Taylor's contract and then go get themselves another quarterback, which is too bad for Shady McCoy because basically his career is done in terms of a playoff production unless he gets out of Buffalo.
There's a lot of talent on that roster. Marcel Darius, you know, a bunch of defensive guys. They have talent.
Yeah. Not enough. Not enough, though. Not enough to make the playoffs. So the only real question is, can the Dolphins make the playoffs? That's really the only question in the AFC East, especially with Jay Cutler taking over for Tannehill, which to me, with Adam Gase there, is basically a wash. I'm not sure that Tannehill will have a better season than Cutler would have had.
Yeah. So let's go to the AFC North. You know, listen, this is a very tough division, always is, very competitive. I think the Steelers take it at 11-5. Le'Veon Bell, obviously. What's so fascinating is the first time I think everyone's healthy, no one's suspended, Bryant's back, Bell's back, Brown, Big Ben, you know, they traded Sammy Coates. They just added a bunch of players that really are good that could help, not only T.J. Watt in the draft, Vance McDonald, a very serviceable, talented tight end from the Niners, Joe Hayden, 7-year, you know, Pro Bowl cornerback from the Browns. So we'll see what happens. The Bengals, this is a sleeper team. I have them 9-7, but I was, going back and forth to having them as one of my wild cards at 10-6. They're a little bit short. The Ravens, talented on defense, Flacco the health, inconsistent running game, 7-9. And the Browns, they're sort of like the Jets, but at least they have more potential. They could sneak up to 5 wins, but I have them at 3-13 because not enough weapons, but I like Deshaun Kaiser Sosa.
So here's the question in this division. Baltimore, I have them being a little bit better than what you think. And can Cincinnati piece it together? They had a terrible season last year, but a lot of injuries, right? A.J. Green at the end of the season, Eifert, Bernard and Hill both got injured. Is mixing the man. So let me ask you, for your Steelers, are they going to hold a grudge that Le'Veon Bell basically took – training camp off because he didn't want to sign that tender?
No, he said he took it off just for health reasons, and he signed it. He's there. I think everything's going to be fine, and they'll work out a long-term deal after the season. They want to keep him.
So you don't think that the players will hold any grudges?
Oh, gosh, no. No, you know how the players are. They want everybody to get their money. No, they're not upset. And he's healthy?
Okay.
He's good to go. Steelers are good to go. And T.J. Watt is ready.
Okay. All right, I'll take your word for it as a Steelers insider, unbiased. Tay.
So, but do you have who do you have second, Bengals or Ravens? You have the Ravens?
So I personally think that the Bengals will be 10-6, and I think the Ravens will be 9-7. I think you're shortchanging your Steelers. I think they go 12-4.
Wow.
I have Cincinnati over Baltimore, but I have Baltimore competing for the playoffs. I think if they're healthy, they can piece it together.
Macklin was a good pickup, and we'll see if Perryman ever develops. But Flacco, it's hard to trust him, Ray. And that back,
You know what I said when they signed him to that deal? I said Baltimore is basically, they'll never win a championship again in the Flacco era.
No, you definitely
not
called
that
one. AFC South, this one is so hard to predict. The only thing is guaranteed, I think the Colts are the worst. But I'll say the Texans at 10-6. And then I have the Titans at 10-6. And the Titans are my other wild card with the Dolphins. I think it's time. I think Watson might start by week 6. And the Texans need Dwayne Brown to get in there, their left tackle. He'll probably get in there week 2 or 3. They're going to have to work that out. Lamar Miller should be better, but they're going to miss Will Fuller. He might not be back to week 8. The Titans are ready. The defense has got to, secondary's got to step up, but they're ready to really make a run. And they have a lot of wide receivers there now, so they'll all come together and help Mariota. The Jaguars, I want them to be better, but it's just you don't know what you're going to get from Blake Bortles. So they're 6-10. Fournette should be pretty good. And Bortles will get you yards for fantasy folks. The Colts, Ray, this is a place where the Colts and Ravens, they should have signed Colin Kaepernick. To put Scott Tolzien out there, who's 0-2-1 for his career, the Colts will go 5-11, and Andrew Luck will probably be back week 2 or 3. But look out for Marlon Mack. He's going to take the spot for my boy, future Hall of Famer Frank Gore. But the Colts' offensive line and defense is still a mess, 5-11. So that's the AFC South for me.
See, I actually have the Colts finishing ahead of Jacksonville. I just think Jacksonville's terrible. I never liked Blake Bortles. I thought he was overrated coming in. I just thought
you don't like their defense at all? Calais Campbell, Jalen Ramsey, Fowler.
Yeah, if they can all come together, they got some new pieces in there. Ramsey's going to be special. They drafted him pretty much knowing that at number 5. I just look at that division and I say that it's just going to be a slugfest, especially at the top with Houston and Tennessee, and neither team really good enough to pull away from the other.
Right.
First, you look at the fact that Tennessee, with Marcus Mariota being the most, what would you say, clutch or dependable red zone producer. You would think in a solid running game, and then you're adding Eric Decker, who statistically is one of the best receivers in the red zone. Julius Thomas didn't your boy that you love on that team.
Laney Walker.
the tight end, Delanie Walker. Remember him? He was a blocking tight end in San Francisco. He came over there, was like, wait a minute, I'm a pass catcher now. So I just think for some reason I want Tennessee to go 11-5. I want them to pull away from that division, but I just don't think they can. And Houston's D and J.J. Watt, and he's going to have all of Houston just fired up. They want to call it J.J. Watt way. But Houston's got
major
issues.
Hey, he raised $18 million. They can call it whatever they want, man. That guy, he really stepped up, Ray. That was legacy building what he did.
Good for him. Really good for him. But you know what? Houston's going to go with a crapshoot at quarterback, right? Is it going to be Watson? Is it going to be Savage? Is it going to be Warren Moon coming back for a couple of games just so you know, get the Houston fans excited? So they have some, you know, most important position in sports is you know, probably your quarterback and then your starting pitcher. But your quarterback, it means a lot. And I just think that these two are going to be slugging it out. And look, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, they don't really have a chance to make the playoffs. But Houston and Tennessee, only one of them is going to go. And it's a coin flip. So I have them both at 9-7, frankly, and I think Houston will win a tiebreaker.
Okay. Well, I got them both going. Let's go to the AFC West. Look, I think the Raiders are the class of the division, and I think getting Beast Mode back is going to help. Derek Carr has to stay healthy. They've got receivers. They've got a tight end. It's the defense. So let's see if their draft picks help out. Let's see if Mac can continue playing like the legendary Hall of Fame career he's already developing. But someone else on that defensive line needs to step up, right, to stop the run. 11-5. The Chiefs, they're 10-6, three-way tie, but they don't make it in the playoffs on tiebreakers. I just think Spencer Ware, they're going to miss him. I do think Kareem Hunt will step in nicely, Charcandrick West. But when you get rid of Macklin and you're relying on little Tariq Hill and Kelsey, you have no other receivers. Conley has never developed, and Alex Smith can't throw it down the field. Next year, Patrick Mahomes will start week one, guarantee. Broncos, I only have them at 8-8 because we saw the best of Simeon and the worst of Simeon. He can't stretch it down the field. They signed Brock Osweiler back, but neither one of them are really winners. They're sort of game managers. Don't like the cut of T.J. Ward. We'll see if the young kids can step up. He goes to the Bucks. We'll see how that works out. But I just, you know, the line should be better with the Garrett Bowles. But I'm not in love with C.J. Anderson. Solid, but we'll just see if he can stay healthy, right? And then the Chargers, 7-9, but Ray, they could easily be 9-7 or even 10-6. This is my one sleeper team that I think can make the playoffs. When you start to look at their defense, their offense, if Mike Williams ever gets back with Keenan Allen, Henry, Gates, Gordon, and on defense, Ingram and so much other talent, Joey Bosa, legit. The corners are both nasty. Verrett and the other guy, Ray, this team's got a lot of potential, but I have them at 7-9. That's my West.
You think more highly of that L.A. I can't even say it.
Poor San Diego.
That L.A. Charger team that I
– We're happy for L.A., but poor San Diego and St. Louis, Ray.
Yeah, you know, in L.A., after 21 years of not having any team, gets two? Really? And three teams were fighting to go there? Really? But that's another story. Anyway, you know what? Oakland's the class of this division, but I don't think by much. They're going to get all of the pub, and they're going to get all of the run, and now Beast Mode gives them a totally different look than Latavius Murray. Your boy got his money. Carr, not David, but Derek,
25.
Got his money. He's got his weapons in Crabtree and Cooper. They could use a little consistency at the tight end. Their defense, like you said, Khalil Mack is about as good as it gets, and they've got some other players. The thing is, can they play from ahead, right? Everybody is going to be gunning for them. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. It's not your you know, loser, lovable loser Raiders that other than 2002, you know, when Rich Gannon led them to the Super Bowl and they lost to Tampa, this team is going to have the bullseye on them every week. So I think quiet is kept. They'll be 11-5, but right behind them, 10-6, Denver and Kansas City. I like Trevor Siemian, actually. You know, give him Emmanuel Sanders, and Demaryius Thomas, professional receivers that each have different skill sets. And then it's all about that running game. Can they figure it out, right? And I think they can, because the defense will allow them to stay in games, and all they need to do is sort of play from ahead, and they'll be fine. I think the Denver Broncos might be going to the playoffs. 10-6, baby. The Kansas City Chiefs, you're right. Now, I had this 10-6 penciled in even before the injury. But you know what? I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. I'm going to say he's the man. I'll say he was shock, you know, people that are doubting him. Alex Smith, the game manager, also wins games. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to win a Super Bowl, but he'll win you some regular season games.
Oh,
he's
definitely
athletic enough. He's got legs. He's got some skills. But you know, I think he's good enough. And so I got them both at 10-6.
And where you got the Chargers?
6-10. I have them as just, you know, the past 5 years have been terrible, and it's just horrible to see Philip Rivers like that.
Yeah, so let's go to the AFC playoffs. So I have number 3, Oakland, battling and taking care of number 6, Miami. Then I have number 4, Houston, battling against their division mates. Number 5, Tennessee, in the divisional round, Ray. The New England Patriots will take care of those Houston Texans in a rematch from last year. Maybe a little bit closer. And then number 2 seed Steelers will battle like it's the old days of the late 70s against the Oakland Raiders, the number 3 seed, and win a close one. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers finally get over the hump because they have a pass rush this year. Ryan Shazier, T.J. Watt, some of the other boys up the middle, everyone's healthy, and they can score. They will go to New England and squeak out a 31-30 win to go to the Minnesota for Super Bowl 52. My AFC representative, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
See, I would definitely
say you're
a homer. I would definitely say you're a homer, but I agree with you. Let me tell you, I got it a little differently. So I have the number 3 seed Oakland Raiders taking down Kansas City. They'll play them, and they'll probably beat them maybe they'll beat them for a third time. I got Denver taking care of Houston in a 4-5 matchup.
Okay.
So then Denver, this is how highly I think of Trevor Siemian. I have Denver going to New England and taking out the champs.
Wow.
Just like the Baltimore Ravens did a couple times. Mm-hmm. I just think that defense is going to punch them in the mouth. And
wow,
they're going to be able to get to Brady with a 4-man rush. Their corners can cover. And, you know, Gronk might not even play in the game. You know how Gronk can't make it through 16 games. No, I mean,
you never know.
He's the most talented, best tight end maybe of all time. Just got to stay on the field. So I have Denver going into New England and beating the Patriots, and then I have Oakland falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's like immaculate reception game.
Okay.
And then I have Pittsburgh hosting the Denver Broncos, and then just the talent just plays out. And Pittsburgh's just more talented. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. I don't think Denver, as good a defense as they are, I think this Pittsburgh machine is rolling. And don't let Martavius Bryant come out and be the man, because, wow, this the killer bees. Hold on. I think we have a caller right here. Let's see what the caller has to say about the AFC or the NFC. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, fellas. What's up? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Hey, what's
up,
going
Bryce?
On, man? Long time no speak. How you been? Giant fan, right?
I've been good. Oh, no. Die hard, born and raised, Pittsburgh.
Steelers fan, that's right. We were talking about the Giants, but you're a Steelers fan like Tay. All right, my fault.
So you like our AFC pick?
Yeah, you know, I think it's easy. It's always easy to say people are homers, right? And, you know, to a degree, we all are with our team. But when the facts line up, excuse me, with the acquisition, very underrated, of Vance McDonald, rounding out the offense, and, of course, with the acquisition of a solid 1A / 2 corner in Joe Hayden, even if he's not 2013 Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden is still a top corner in this league. Now that they finally got that guy, Artie Burns takes that next step. Even if the pass rush, is a little better, but not as, Steelers are able to cover long enough and be versatile enough and have enough playmaking in the secondary to either be go to New England or host New England, beat them in the AFC Championship, and go to the Super Bowl this year.
I see it the same way, man. I really do. And, you know, I think you said it best in the sense that Artie Burns will step up. McDonald's great. But Joe Hayden, he's a veteran. Remember, he was injured, and so now he's finally healthy. So I think that's something that people have to remember, why he hasn't been himself as of late. And then also, he just was surrounded by a horrible team. That can make you look bad as well, too. So, I totally agree. What do you think about the Patriots, though? Is this the end of it? Or, you know, do we?
I don't know. Well, it's hard for me to say the end of it, per se. Look, when you've got, as much as I hate to say it, I don't know if you two agree, when you've got the best head coach ever and the best quarterback ever, that's a unique combination in today's NFL where you can't play defense the same way that you could in Montana and Rice's day. That's allowed these guys to really flourish and adjust their style and build a team around the rules and scheme and be able to build just a great, great, great team over there. So I don't know if it's the end, but I think Pittsburgh with this acquisition and moving into next year, they can get that tailback signed. And I think Ben Roethlisberger stays a couple more years because he'll be able to rely even more on the run game. The offensive line is young. Pittsburgh is primed. They made great moves. I wanted them to bring back Lawrence Timmons, but the salary cap saving that they were able to get, and they were able to just keep doing what they're doing, but now this extra money, and with the Browns being the Browns, I think getting Joe Hayden can be a game changer. So you have to understand, Joe Hayden, don't think Joe Hayden press man every play. It's not going to be that. It's going to be multiple coverage, multiple disciplines. It's cover two zone, cover three. Hayden will tackle. He's very competitive and
very
physical.
Good tackler. I'm just surprised the Steelers spent the money, Bryce, to be honest with you. You know we don't spend big dollars. The fact that we spent the money inside that, you know, stadium and inside the locker rooms, they know that they've got something special with Bell, Bryant, Ben, and all the guys healthy. So much so that people don't even realize they traded Sammy Coates because of Hamilton and Hunter. Remember, Hunter from Tennessee, who didn't work out with the Titans, the University of Tennessee, he played great in preseason, and so he's like our fourth or fifth receiver. The Steelers are loaded, man, so strap
but
it on.
Keep this in mind, fellas. So I 100% agree, and I think Hayden is an unbelievable pickup because if anybody knows him, it's the Steelers, right? From the division, they know him. They've played him twice a year, and he's going to finally play in games that matter. And you know what? A guy like that who 2 years ago signed the big contract was considered the best corner or top three corner, he's got his pride, right? And he's going to say, wait a minute, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to show. He's going to play in games that playoff games. He's going to play in games in November and December that matters because by that time, you know, Cleveland's checked out probably in end of September when they're 0-4. So unbelievable. And the other thing to keep in mind, I almost go back to a basketball analogy where I feel like it's almost Pittsburgh's time. You know, it's like the Celtics and the Pistons, and then the Bulls and the Pistons. So it was a passing of the torch, and I'm not saying the Brady Belichick era is over because look, if they won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
There's something to be said for taking that team, the Steelers, that is, going into New England, playing the Patriots, dealing with that crowd, dealing with Belichick and his head games, but having been there before. The only team that can really say that they kind of punched him in the mouth on a regular basis was the Ravens. Right? Mm-hmm. So Pittsburgh, if they get that same mindset on defense and then bring their killer bees and that whole crew on offense, then I think they have a chance to even, you know, upset the greatness that is Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, I mean, if any team's going to do it in the AFC, I mean, Pittsburgh, listen, I know a lot of fans like the sexy picks on paper, But Pittsburgh is the clear number two. There is no other number two than the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC. And then it's everyone else kind of jumbled. Make your matches as you would. Pittsburgh is the most complete team after New England. I think when it comes to the front seven, it's going to be very interesting. I don't like to put a lot of faith in rookies. And T.J. Watt starting from the gate, let's see how he does. You're going to go against one of the best in the league the past 20 years, Joe Thomas, starting out. You know, it might be a rough go of it. What I think will help is that when you got Hall of Fame players like James Harrison, they just know how to play. Even at 39, they can keep that guy
healthy.
He will make big plays. So they have enough depth on the outside. They've got two great 3-4 defensive ends. They're getting a lot more rush from the ends. What's Vince Williams going to do? Is he going to step up and be a true 1A linebacker? We got to look for that. The Steelers don't have a lot of depth on the inside.
I think Shazier, though, Bryce, Shazier's going to take it to the next level. Ryan Shazier is going to be a Pro Bowler. He'll be in the conversation with Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly up there with linebackers. Ryan
Shazier.
Yeah.
So, listen, Bryce,
I want to ask you about your NFC pick because we got to go and finish our NFC preview. So who do you think is going to meet the Steelers in the NFC? In the Super Bowl?
You know, let me tell you. I mean, it may be cliche. I like the Seattle Seahawks. I think they've taken a couple lumps, and I think they're ready to get back. I think Russell – this is what we're going to find out. Is Russell Wilson ready to vaunt himself into the top five list? Now that some of the other guys are getting older, he needs to play well. This needs to be a thing where their offense can really step up and match the talent of the defense. I don't care if that defense is getting older. That defense has world-class players, world-class coaching, world-class
And they just got Shelvin Richardson from the Jets. Perfect shot in the arm.
And they just got Shelvin Richardson. They smack people in the mouth. This is why the Cardinals, I don't think, can hang with them because the Cardinals are more of a finesse team, even with David Johnson. The Seattle Seahawks will smack you in the mouth. And they got a true home field advantage. They need their quarterback to take another level and get them to another level in the passing game.
I don't want to ruin the preview, but you Pittsburgh Steelers fans must have talked to each other.
Great minds think alike. That's all I'll say. So listen to the rest of the preview. We'll put you on hold, man. But great call, and don't be a stranger. We'll be back Mondays and Fridays, so keep listening. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, great insight.
I like the show,
you definitely
guys.
Know your stuff.
Talking to you soon.
All right, be good.
Right, thank you. Wow, Ray. Hey, great minds think alike. Let's quickly get to this NFC. Giants, 11-5. They might even be able to beat the Cowboys with Zeke week one. We'll see. Cowboys, 10-6. Both these teams are really going to have great seasons. The Eagles are great. They're just going to fall a little bit short because you can pass on their defense, 9-7. The Redskins, 5-11 might be generous, but I think they'll still muster up enough offense and watch out for Samaje Perine to take that over and wind up being a 1,000-yard rookie rusher. That's my NFC East.
What
do you got?
I think that the sequence is fine. I don't disagree. I just think they're all going to be bunched together. I don't look at any team in this division and think that they're that much better than any other team, even the Redskins, who I have only at 7-9. So you know what? I think the Giants go 9-7.
Wow.
Eli has all the weapons in the world. But you know what? He still has to play
he
Dallas twice,
great,
Philly
though.
Twice, Washington twice. I just, you know what? Some people have the Giants as good as 11-5. I don't know. They just find a way to lose some close games. So Eli and the boys, you give them Ingram, you give them Brandon Marshall. I still don't like their running game. Who's running the ball for them? You're relying on Perkins?
Bowman or Paul Perkins. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. And you know what? They got that great safety in Collins now, but ultimately this is not
Denard
the Giants.
Jenkins, Jack Rabbit. They got some dogs back there in the secondary, right?
They do, but they're running up against some high octane offenses. So I think especially in the NFC East. So Dallas, I think, also goes 9-7. Obviously losing Zeke for six games hurts. If it was 2 or 3, Dallas might win this division, but I think they're going to be tied with the Giants and lose on the tiebreak. The Philadelphia Eagles, I got them at 8-8. Remember, Carson Wentz was everybody's darling at the beginning of the season. They made some moves. Now the question is, are they clicking by week one? Probably not. They'll probably take 3 or 4 weeks, but give him Alshon Jeffrey, you know, in addition, and then they got to figure out how to get LeGarrette Blount worked in with Darren Sproles, totally different offense, you know, offensive mentality. The defense has struggled at times, and I think Washington 7-9. You know what? This kid Kirk Cousins is like the biggest enigma in NFL history, right? The guy's getting paid on these 1-year contracts. They're not committing to him.
He's not a champ, man. Just got paid. He's a man.
Yeah, yet he wants to do, well, not all, but he wants to sign a big long-term contract. And
he's
going
to the Niners. That's what it's all about. He's out of there. He don't want to stay in
Washington.
Yeah,
Washington might have to let him go. So, yeah, I just think two games separate the Giants and the Redskins.
Well, I have the Giants and Cowboys in the playoffs. Let's go to the North. Packers 11-5. Aaron Rodgers, he's ready, man. He's ready to just forget Matt Ryan, forget Brady. He's ready to show everybody. He's the most valuable poet on the MIC, and him and Martellus Bennett is going to be a beautiful marriage. I don't like the running game, though, whether it's Jamal Williams or Ty Montgomery. And they still, we'll see what the young draft picks do. I still think you can score on them. Their secondary is not championship secondary. The Lions, 8-8, you know, they'll drop off a little bit because Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah doesn't scare anybody, and the offensive line's inconsistent, and neither of those guys stay healthy. I love Jones and Tate, but they're both 1Bs. They're not like 1As receivers. And Eric Ebron will be okay. Defense, not great, and they have some injuries. Vikings, they're at 8-8. You want them to be better, but you don't know about Sam Bradford. The offensive line, they lost Khalil. Dalvin Cook will be a stud, but, you know, it's hard for them to score. I think Diggs has got to stay healthy, him and Thielen. And then the Bears, I'll say this, week 5 to 7, look for Mitchell Trubisky, who is going to be a stud. I don't think Glennon makes the whole season. They'll be 3-13. Victor Cruz and Cameron Meredith are gone. All they have is Kevin White and Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright. So we'll see. Zach Miller will get a lot of catches, and Jordan Howard is a future stud. Packers make the playoffs. That's it.
See, I don't love Jordan Howard as much as you do. I think he gets stopped. I think people will kind of figure his game out. I like the same order, though, except that I have Minnesota at 9-7, Detroit at 8-8. Minnesota has a lot of question marks, especially on, well, their heart is what their coach is questioning. But other than that, the offense, right? Is your boy Dalvin Cook really going to be the man? Is Thielen going to play? Does Sam Bradford, with a full year under his belt and a training camp, lead this team? And I think he will. I think they'll go 9-7. I like the Packers at 11-5, Minnesota 9-7, Detroit. It's a team that just doesn't go away, right? Marvin Jones and Golden Tate aren't scaring anybody. Like you said, Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, Stafford, Ebron. These are all good but not great players, but collectively they'll win. They'll be a 500 team, and you're right. Yeah. Chicago is down there with the Jets and the rest of the dredge of the NFL.
So the South, the Falcons, will they have a hangover? No, because their defense is better. The offense, they didn't change that much. So Sarkisian comes in and just adjusts some things. You have two legitimate starting running backs. Coleman is no slouch. Freeman's a beast. Hooper is a decent tight end. The receivers, three of them, Gabriel, Sanu, and Julio. The defense is faster and stronger. 12-4, they win the division. The Bucks, 10-6. They may be young, but they're ready, and they're led by Gerald McCoy, Levante David, Quan Alexander. You've seen them on Hard Knocks. But getting DeSean Jackson, people don't understand what this man does. He stretches that safety, and Mike Evans is going to get bisms. Doug Martin will miss the first couple of games. Sims will do okay. Jaquez. And then Doug Martin is back. This team is a playoff team. Watch out for the Bucks. The Panthers will be better than people might think. People, you know, they're hard to read. 8-8 could be more. But I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a great rookie year. I think Kuechly will be healthy. Cam will be okay. And the Saints, I want to put the Saints at 8-8, Ray, but I just don't think they have enough defense. I think Adrian Peterson and Kamara will do good. Breeze will be fine. He might see a little bit off that arm coming off. A little age might start to catch up with him. He did have surgery a long time ago. He's only human. But I don't think there's enough defense. But Peterson will come back and look pretty decent. They're 6-10.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I have Atlanta 11-5, Tampa 10-6, Carolina 9-7, New Orleans 6-10. This is probably the best division in football. They're all good teams. If New Orleans is the worst team in your division is pretty good. I think New Orleans is going through an identity crisis, right? They've got three excellent running backs, and yet they still have Drew Brees. So where does he go? You know, his talent on the outside keeps changing. So he's got
some. And Willie Snead misses three games. That's not going to help.
And Willie Snead on suspension. Oh, yeah, so that's going to hurt. You're right. Carolina is good but not great. I think that we'll see the middle of the, you know, the two extremes. We saw great Cam Newton, then we saw bad Cam Newton. I think we'll see good Cam Newton this year, but I don't think he'll be great. Tampa Bay, I love that team. If you're a young GM and you're dealing with that Tampa Bay team, I mean, you're ultimately making a bet on Jameis Winston. But
two good tight ends.
Sure. But if Sims and Brate is underrated, you know, if Doug Martin comes back healthy, muscle hamster that he is.
He looks good. He looks good so far.
That team can do big things. So, yeah, I like them actually, potentially to even, you know, maybe not this year, but potentially to take over that division.
In the West, the wild, wild West, the Seahawks are the class. I think getting Sheldon Richardson is a game changer. It rejuvenates them. Everybody in the secondary got paid. Now that Cam Chancellor got his money, he's sort of the sheriff back there, and they all respect him. I think the Seahawks are upset that they don't have two rings, and I think they're coming for blood. The NFC better watch out, and you'll see it week one when they go to Green Bay and beat them. I think the Cardinals, 8-8, they're kind of like they'll be good 1 week, not good. The problem is Bruce Arians. I think he's a great coach, but you can't always be a gunslinger. They better give David Johnson 30 touches a game, 25 carries, 5 screen passes, but he can't always throw deep to John Brown. Fitzgerald will be top 5 of, you know, in receptions again. But I just, the defense, can Dicci and these guys step up, and can Matthew and Peterson, can they stay healthy? So the Cardinals will be average. The Rams, I don't know what to read. Sammy Watkins and Goff haven't hooked up yet. Gurley should be better just by having some people. Watch out for Cooper Kupp. He's going to be like Zay Jones on the West Coast. He's going to get a bunch of receptions. But Tavon Austin, it's just you're not afraid, and you don't know if Sammy can stay healthy. And Goff, we'll see if he's ready to answer the bell. And I think the Niners are going to be surprisingly better. 4-12, but they could be 5-11. They'll be in plenty of games, and you'll see the expertise of Kyle Shanahan. And I think Hoyer and Garcon will be a big time matchup. He'll get a lot of receptions. Carlos Hyde might rejuvenate his career, the run scheme, which, you know, Alpha Morris did, you know, with Shanahan there. So the Niners will be better. And Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, you'll notice them on the field with Navarro Bowman. The defense will be better. So 4-12, but an impressive 4-12 for the Niners.
Yeah, all right, let's speed this up. We'll go. I got basically the same thing. It's a division of two teams, right? Seattle and Arizona. The Rams and San Francisco, I think, are just terrible. You can kind of try to pick your bright spots because both teams do have young talent, but I'll say Rams are 4-12, Niners are 3-13. I just don't see it for San Francisco this year. Next year, if they get Kirk Cousins and maybe bring in another couple playmakers on offense. Seattle and Arizona have them tied at 10-6. I think they're totally different teams, but I think they get to the same result. Seattle still has some kinks. They still, for some reason, Daryl Bevel doesn't have that offense running on all cylinders at all times. There are times when they look great and they're unstoppable, and they get Jimmy Graham in the offense and they can stretch.
He lost 20 pounds. Great. Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's times when they cannot score. So, Seattle 10-6, Arizona 10-6, and this is the last year for Arizona. I think they're just getting old, especially with Fitzgerald. I mean, David Johnson's a young guy, and they're going to build around him, but Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer, who I think will have a good year, I think this is it for them. So Seattle and Arizona tied at 10-6 atop that division.
Wild card NFC, number 3, Green Bay against number 6, Tampa Bay. Then I've got the New York Football Giants at 4, battling the Cowboys at 5 in the divisional round. Number 1, Atlanta, is going to battle the New York Football Giants and the Giants defense. And Odell Beckham will take care of the Falcons in a great matchup. Then I've got number 2, Seattle, battling against Green Bay in a matchup from week 1. And I think Seattle, this time at home, takes care of them. The Seahawks battle the Giants in a classic NFC championships. The number 12s go crazy. The Seahawks win. I had the Seahawks battling the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and the Pittsburgh Steelers once again take care of the Seahawks, break their hearts for this great defense, and beat them 29-24. The Steelers get their 7th championship.
Oh, that's a homer pick. So I've got, I'll tell you real quick, I've got Dallas upsetting Seattle in a 3-6 matchup. I think second half of the season with Ezekiel Elliott back, you'll see the same Dallas team of last year where the defensive mistakes get covered up by the ball control offense. And if Prescott can develop in his second year, I think Dallas is a tough team you don't want to face in the playoffs. I got Arizona, the number 5 team, beating the number 4 New York Giants. I just think too many weapons. The Giants can be shut down. Eli can be inconsistent, although you know how Eli is in the playoffs every other year. So then I have Green Bay hosting Arizona, taking care of them pretty easily. Green Bay just at home is a tough matchup, especially for one of those outdoor West, you know, Phoenix-type teams. And then I got Atlanta and Dallas, the rematch that never was. That Dallas team had basically looked past Green Bay and was going to Atlanta, Atlanta was coming to them. So I think they finally get them, and Dallas goes into Atlanta, takes care of an overconfident Atlanta Falcons team. Green Bay and Dallas, 1-6.
Wow.
But you know what? Green Bay gets them again. Aaron Rodgers, the best player in football, I think he still has some juice in his arm, takes them to the NFC Championship and also has them beating Pittsburgh. So on offense, I'm not worried
second
about
time?
Them except for, yep, much like in 2009, A-Rod takes care of business. So, yeah, to me, he's the best player. They just need a consistent running game. They need to stop the run and be a little bit better on the corners. Easier said than done, but I think Green Bay puts it together, takes care of business, and gives Aaron Rodgers number 2, his second championship, which puts him into that elite, elite category.
I'm not mad at you, but I'm weary of that Packer defense and secondary. Postseason awards, real quick. Aaron Rodgers, like you just mentioned, MVP. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Christian McCaffrey. He's a beast. Defensive Rookie of the Year, my boy, T.J. Watt. He's going to get some sack numbers. Coach of the Year, Pete Carroll. He's just going to really do it up. Offensive Player of the Year is Le'Veon Bell. He's just going to be great. Defensive Player of the Year, Bobby Wagner. He's taking it past Kuechly. Comeback Player of the Year, you know, it's obvious to say your boy JJ, but I got to go with Beast Mode because he was retired and he's coming back and getting 1,000 yards.
That's a true comeback.
And then my Fantasy Player of the Year is without a doubt the Dominator, Julio Jones.
All right, I'm going to say MVP's Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, I have Green Bay going all the way. Offensive Player of the Year, just going to put up 5,000 yards, Matt Ryan. Defensive Player of the Year, it could be one of 4 or 5 guys, but I'll go with Von Miller, a couple of votes away from beating Khalil Mack last year. Rookie of the Year, I'll say Leonard Fournette. They're just going to keep fading him and fading him and fading him. Comeback Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, missed most of the season last year. I think he comes back and is the man. Coach of the Year, Jack Del Rio, taking it home for his hometown squad. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Myles Garrett. I think he's all that he's cracked up to be. People question his motor a little bit, but he's going to do work in Cleveland.
He looks good.
And the Fantasy Player of the Year is Christian McCaffrey, especially if you're in a PPR league. I think he is going to be one of those stat stuffers that's going to be, you know, Darren Sproles on steroids. If he can stay healthy,
okay.
I think he'll put up some.
You got a lot of deep water faith in him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not riding him to the playoffs, but maybe the fantasy playoffs, not the real playoffs.
Either, real quick, before we go, either conference, one team that can surprise everybody that you think can make the Super Bowl. For me, I'll just throw out Jameis Winston and Tampa. That's my team. Who would you pick?
Wow, I like that pick. You know what? I'll give you a wild card. I'll say Cincinnati. Just because they've won so many regular season games, all you got to do is win 2 in the playoffs. Just get it together.
Talent. It's not a bad pick, Ray.
Have
they have
the
a lot of talent.
And Joe
okay.
Mixon, I'm telling you, watch out for this kid.
Yeah, no, if he keeps his head on straight and if your boy on defense, they knock down his suspension. So as long as he, you know, keeps it together, your boy Vontaze, it should be great. Anyway, enjoy the game. enjoy the season and keep enjoying Ray and Tay today. Thanks for Bryce and all of our listeners out there. We'll see you on Friday. Peace.
See ya.